Good evening. It's certainly good to have you with us tonight. We're going to be in Psalms 37 tonight. Psalms 37, the title of the lesson is Fret Not. Lots of times there seems like other people who don't care about God seem to be doing well, and you're struggling along, and it can lead to bad attitudes if you're not careful. You start fretting over a lot of other things going on in the world. Fret not. Psalm 32 is about the security of those who trust in the Lord and the insecurity of the wicked. In verse 1 through 4, if you trust in God and you fret not, God will give you the desires of your heart. Verse 1, do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers. Don't worry about them. You don't need to look at them. You don't need to think about them. You know, they may have a lot. They may be seen to be, life seems to be easier for them. It may not be what it seems. You know, things could be terrible. You know, I know a millionaire, his life is a mess. He started a business, made $1 million, won the lottery twice. And everything in his, and he's real religious, but everything in his life's a mess. Everything. You know, he's worried over $300 a month. You know, don't look at other people and be envious because they got things. You know, don't fret about that. Don't even think about that. Verse 2, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. I mean, you got stuff that grow in the spring and what? They're just here for a season. And they're gone and they wither and things don't turn out well. I saw on the, you go through the aisle at the grocery store about Elizabeth Taylor. You know, and how bad off she is. And, you know, from where she started, glory, I thought about it, glory-wise. So, end of life, you know, with physical things and horrible things happening to you. She probably don't even think about that. You know, you can really wither quickly. You know, that you're not eternal. Things you have are not eternal. There's eight things in the first 11 verses that you need to do when you have a temptation to fret. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. I mean, some you got problems, you know they're big. All you can do is trust in the Lord. That He'll step in and give you some assistance because you desperately need it. So number one, you have to quit doing a lot of fretful things you're doing. But secondly, you need to do good. You can't let what's happening to you turn you bitter. Where you start doing evil, say, what's the use? No, you keep on trusting the Lord and you keep on doing good. You know, the Lord's not just jumping because you pray. You know, He rules heaven and earth, and maybe you don't need it now. Maybe you need to learn something from the struggle. You know, there's a lot of things going on. But verse, the end of verse 3, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Number 3, they're talking about Israel, living in the land of Israel. Just dwell in the land and it says cultivate faithfulness. Now, that's a good thing. I mean, you need to train yourself. You need to work in a garden. And, you know, you give it the water. You get the weeds out. And you cultivate faithfulness where you get better at being faithful. God's real. God's looking. God's looking to see if you're walking worthy. And you notice in the margin, my margin, talking about cultivate faithfulness, feed securely on faithfulness. I mean, you're a faithful person, what? It gives you nourishment back. You can feed securely that you have a conviction about God and His Word, and you know that gives you strength there. And he had a second interpretation here, translation, feed on His faithfulness. And then when you trust in God, that's what you're doing. You know, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We're asking God to be faithful. When we're being honest, we're saying the blood of Jesus, I realize it paid for my sins. I want to be free from it. I want to be have fellowship with you. So I'm depending on you to be faithful. I'm depending on you to do the right thing since Jesus paid for it, and I'm accepting that. So you find your sins forgiven. Verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Number 4, delight yourself in the Lord. You watch these little kids around here playing together. There's sheer delight everywhere. I mean, they're greatly pleased. They're not worrying about anything you're worried about. But there's this great joy within. Well, that's the way we need to be to the Lord, that He's there for us. And we need to delight ourselves in the Lord. In verses 5 through 7, one of the bigger things about finding God in a difficult situation, that He's going to bring forth your righteousness into judgment day. And as we pointed out in Revelation, as we point out in the Old Testament, and we're talking about it here, there comes local judgments where God makes adjustments in here and now. And you look around the world, we're making some adjustments. And there are going to be more to come. And so, you know, we have a Bible class on Thursday night in Cuba. And who knows where the furniture is going to be when we get there. The lady loves to move the furniture, you know. It's always a neat scheme and all that. What about God? Can He make adjustments down here on earth? If He decides, yeah, if He don't like the way it is and He wants to make it look better, well, He can do the same thing. It's easy. So, you know, you and I need to lie ourselves to the Lord and remember that things can get bad, and that's when you really need God. Here, much less when Jesus comes. So, verses 5 through 7, God will bring forth your righteousness. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Number 5, you got to go all in with God. I mean, you got to make a commitment to it. This is, my lot is going to be determined by Him. That will be a lot better than probably what you're trying to figure out how to get out of your problem, which is causing you to fret. If you're already fretting, you don't have a lot of answers. And so you have to commit your way to the Lord. And He understands that. You understand that when you do it. It relieves a lot of fears when you say, this is the route I'm going without any reservations. Because if you leave a loophole, I'll guarantee you'll take it when the pressure gets high. Well, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. We're putting the responsibility on God when we commit to Him. It's His responsibility to bring it about. So the burden is like Jesus, yoking up with Jesus. He's going to carry the most of the load here. Well, He's going to do it. If you make a commitment, you and Him have a great understanding there. Verse 6, and He'll bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Oh, boy, it'd be wonderful. I mean, here comes the judgment, and God brings forth your righteousness. I mean, as glorious as it can be. That's going to be the only issue at that point. Are you righteous or not? You know, and your judgment as the noonday? I mean, the sun's shining, every flaw can be seen. But guess what? You don't need to worry about that. Well, I want you to turn to Micah chapter 7. I know it's a little hard. If you back up 7 books from Matthew, you run into Micah. A couple of big books, Zephaniah and Zechariah, a little ones in between. But interesting, two verses about this, about Him bringing forth our righteousness as the noonday and judgment as the noonday. Micah chapter 7, verse 9, we're talking about judgment coming upon the northern group of Samaria, north of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem also here, local judgments. And Micah is going to cry out to God in Micah 7, 9. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against Him. That's a good statement if judgment's coming. And nobody's perfect. But He says, I'm going to bear that. When God's mad, I'm going to bear it. Because I deserve some of it. Because I've sinned against Him. Notice what He says next. Until He pleads my case and executes justice for me, He'll bring me out of the light and I'll see His righteousness. He's depending on God to save him. Despite his failures, his imperfections, he's being honest with God, and he's waiting on God to plead his case and to execute judgment. And we're sitting here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Jesus sits at the right hand of God as our advocate. But look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. There's 3 verses in 1 Peter that talk about this very same thing to the church. In 1 Peter, it's about 5 years before the destruction of Jerusalem, and it's written to people who are scattered all over the world out there, Jewish Christians. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing which they slander you as evildoers, They may, on account of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. You keep your actions good among the people outside there. And when the day of visitation comes, local judgment, they're going to glorify God. They're going to be wishing, they're going to be agreeing that what you were doing was the right thing to be doing the whole time. So you keep your behavior good and just let me handle the rest. In chapter 2, verse 15, for such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Evildoers, you know, and especially hating Christians and because they feel guilty, and all you can do is continue to do the right thing. And that's going to silence them sooner or later. What's wrong with doing right? What's wrong with doing good? You know, what's the problem here? So, you know, do in chapter 3, verse 16. And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. You just keep doing good. They're being slandered. They're being persecuted. And you just keep doing the good thing. You keep your conscience clean. And they're going to be put to shame because I'm going to deal with them. So God doesn't change from Psalms in David's day to Peter's day. It's the same thing. And go back, Micah. I got ahead of myself. Micah chapter 7, verse 10. Then the enemy will see and shame will cover her who said to me, where is the Lord your God? My eyes will look on her, and at that time she'll be trampled down like mire of the streets. You know, people, where's your God? You know, it doesn't look like God looks out for y'all, and you're being talked down to and laughed at and mocked. Seemed like that happened on the cross, and that didn't work out real well there, did it? No. And Jesus talking about not one stone will be left upon another in Matthew 24? No. Evil goes on all the time. What's the Christian going to do? He going to fret because things are bad? Or he's just going to trust in God? So in Psalms 37, talking about the first part of verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Number 6, number 7. And we have trouble with this one. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Cease striving. Be still. Wait. Quit running nilly-willy here. Sometimes there's a need to stop and let everything settle down and give God a chance to come in and do what he wants to do here. We don't want to do that, but what? Because we're frustrated. We're fretting. And oh my, as if we're like the rest of those people that don't believe in God. So we got verses that explain this, but here's what we do. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. No, yeah, you want to do a lot of things. Wait, wait, wait. At the right time, it'll probably work a lot better. Well, verse 7 through 11, do not worry about evildoers. Second sentence in verse 7, do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Number 8, you got to let go of your anger. I mean, you're looking at people today and their 401k is crashed. I mean, tax is going to be raised. I mean, there's a Christian can start getting angry just like everybody else. Anger's going to be there. And it's going to get far worse. We're just seeing the start of it in Wisconsin. In verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Forsake, you know, that wrath is where you kind of let it live there underneath the surface, and it just keeps, every day, every morning, you're angry. And you forsake it, abandon it, let it go, cease being angry. God's trying to help. He's talking about peace within your soul and solutions. If there is a God and we're believers in it, then this is the way to do it. And this is one of the most powerful psalms I know. Verse 9. Oh, end of verse 8. Do not fret. It leads on to evil doing. Yeah, when you're frustrated or you're worried, you're going to say something, you're going to do something you shouldn't have done. And then you're going to, not only do you are fretting, you have guilt. And then you don't want to rush to God, which means all these 8 points we just made don't mean anything now. Which the deterioration can grow and grow. So don't fret. You don't lead to evil doing. So don't even go down the road. Verse 9. For evildoers will be cut off. So you don't need to be a fretter who does evil. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they'll inherit the land. God's going to sweep through Israel. He's going to sweep through Jerusalem. A lot of evil people are going to be gone. We send an army in there, and what? In Matthew 24. You know, it talks about seeing the abomination of desolation spoken of in Daniel. Luke says, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, you need to run for the hills. And Jesus said, pray that it's not wintertime. Pray that you're not with child. Well, this is going to happen, and you better go. You know, listen to me. Well, Peter and him heard that. So we get toward AD 71. Those words going to come back there. Remember, it said, you see Rome's out there, and the military is causing problems here, and it's near AD 70. I think we probably need to go to the hills. We should listen to Jesus. Well, and then when it's over, what? Roman army's gone. And I don't care how much you want to farm, how much you think you're big enough to farm. Pick a spot. Because a lot of people are gone. They're taken away. That's the point. Verse 10. Yet a little while, and the wicked man will be no more. And you'll look carefully for his place, and he'll not be there. All that fellow you was fretting about. You know, in the last year or so, some crooks, like Bernie Madoff, stole $50 billion from investors. And about a year later, his 40-something-year-old son committed suicide. Was that $50 billion worth it? The guilt of the son who was involved in the thing, you know, that was it. There was no way out. You know, the horror of how things can go wrong, you know. Why don't you just do good and trust in God? Let him work things out. Verse 11. But the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. Things going to work out good if you trust in God, you commit your way to God. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, blessed are the gentle or the meek, for they should inherit the earth. We're talking about this right here, a local judgments. You know. And it's always good to be gentle, as we saw this morning. It's always good to be meek. Boy, if you can be humble and you can listen to the Lord, you can find answers about how you need to act in the midst of all your fears, all your frets, and all your worries. Jesus going to the Garden of Gethsemane, facing all that anguish of being separated from God. But yet, not my will be done, but thy will be done. I'm committing my way to you, even if it means dying as a sinner, as sin. I'm making a commitment. I'm trusting in you. And it worked out wonderful for him. God overrode all of that evil was being done. He's always doing that. Well, for the people that trust him, the people that delight in him, oh, they're shining like a bright star down here in this dark, perverse generation. Just doing good, doing right, committing to the Lord. Don't worry about them other folks. Just worry about yourself and doing the right thing. Oh, Jesus said, go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He has believed and has been baptized, shall be saved. But he has disbelieved, shall be condemned. Boy, you go preach the gospel and see who comes out, who wants to come. Trust in me for salvation. Yeah. Offered it to everybody, even the people who put him to death and laughed at him and mocked him. He wasn't fretting over that. Their lot in life is going to be decided. You know, it could be now, could be years. Nobody knows. But being prepared. Just walking with the Lord every day is just easier. Need to respond anyway once you come as we stand and sing.